You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
We are the Agony Uncles. I'm Uncle Dave.
And I'm Uncle Si. And yes, we're back to solve another truckload of troubles. And so, to bring us your bothers, it's Mr. Jeeves, as always.
Hello, hello. Nice to see everyone. And yes, it's another juicy post bag this week. Actually, a lot of the messages that we're getting are still about the Go Local series. And so we've actually got a couple of problems you're going to be dealing with today that deal directly with questions about Go Local. But it's certainly been a big hit.
Oh, well, good.
Good. Good. Well, we enjoyed making it very much.
Yeah, it was good watching, actually. The food especially, I mean, I'm not blowing our own trumpet, Kingy, but the food that
you cooked, it's okay.
I mean, I've had a rough year, but I don't remember cooking it, but I thought I'd eat that. It was blooming good.
It was. We've always done that, though, don't we? What kind of cook? Can you remember cooking that? I mean, like, no.
I don't even remember eating it, but that sea bass we cooked for Julie in Glasgow, that made me mouth water. And those panna cotta with the mead and...
Miso caramel.
Yeah.
Oh, does sound good. We still get loads of questions about your bikes as well, but I think we've explained all about the bikes. Electric bikes, Italian. Right, thank you. Move on.
Oh, all right, that's it. That hasn't helped the bikers, has it, in the world? You are a biker, Jeezy. No. And... the good bitch, she's back. The Prada of problems, the Tiffany of our troubles, it's Posh Tash.
Morning. Do you know what I just thought you said? I just thought you said, oh, the good bitch, she's back. You actually said the good bit, didn't you? The good bit, she's back.
Tash, it's me. Would I say that?
No, that's very true. You would not. No, you're very charming and lovely to me. Morning. I'm here, cold, chilly. Gong si fai chai for Happy New Year, for Chinese New Year.
Gong si fai chai.
Yeah. Are you cold because your boiler's broken again or what?
No, it's just really chilly and us southerners don't do cold very well.
Oh, fair enough then.
Do you remember, Kingy, we actually reported live from... Beijing, the Chinese New Year a few years ago. That was epic, wasn't it?
That was cool. Good fun. That was good fun. I have never seen pallets of fireworks set off in the street before. Literally, pallets.
As you said, it was ordnance. It wasn't fireworks. I did my little Chinese New Year supper last night. It was a bit of a cultural mishmash, but I made Dover sole tempura because I had a Dover sole in the bottom of the freezer that was teasing me. Oh, it was good, extravagant, but good. But I kept that plain, and then just a nice chow mein.
Oh, very nice.
So you could have the chow mein, you've loads of veggies, loads of good stuff. And then you see, you could take the Dover sole tempura, dip it in a bit of soy and lime.
Gone on, man.
Oh, that sounds
epic. Yeah, it cost them a bit mean. Like, the one Dover sole fed two of us amply. Do you know what I mean? Because by the time it was done in, like, goujonny, and it went a long way.
Did you wrap it in the seaweed, dude, or not?
No, I didn't this time, no, because I thought the Dover sole, such a precious fish, I kept it really simple. Just filleted it, salted it a little bit, and then tempura batter and fried it till it's just golden. So I kept it, a bit of lemon juice, actually, so I kept it really pure.
That's amazing. I've got a wonderful restaurant from living in Asia, and they opened it in London just last year before, called Din Tai Fung. I don't know if you guys have ever been.
No.
It's an amazing dim sum restaurant. It's Taiwanese, actually, rather than everyone thinks it's Chinese. It's Taiwanese. And they got, I think I'm correct in saying, when it opened in Taiwan, it's almost like fast food dim sum, but it got a Michelin star, I believe, or it got a huge accolade. And then and then they opened it in London. It was something we loved when we were in Asia. So we went yesterday as a treat. And the food is, and you watch them making all the dumplings. Absolutely incredible. I highly recommend it. It's in Covent Garden.
Oh, I'm getting hungry.
I can help you with the getting hungry thing, because I don't normally contribute to the food thing, because as everyone who's on this team knows, me and food are alien substance. But I was in Singapore a couple of weeks ago, and which sounds very grand, but it wasn't. But it was, I went through Chinatown, they were getting ready for Chinese New Year, and somebody suggested that I have something called durian.
Oh, yes.
Which I did.
Oh, nice.
And it was an odd taste, but the smell was unbelievably unpleasant.
I believe Thai Airways banned people for taking durian.
You're not allowed
flights.
To take it on the and tube in Singapore either. There's signs up saying no durian. So Oof.
Yeah, and it's we have a family joke actually that every year about our birthday presents of what we bought each other, and they go, sorry, the durian hasn't arrived yet. It's that thing we always joke about the durian because it was a threat.
Oh, there we go. As we say, it's Happy Chinese New Year.
Well, Dave, let's get solving. Wiggle your jingle finger, dude.
Bingy de bong bong bong. Bing.
Hello, hairy bikers. Here is my request. I have got a problem that I must get off my chest. Won't you listen to my story like a hairy Jack and Ori? Cause I heard your advice is the best.
In this week's melee of misfortune and misadventure, Uncle Dave, Uncle Si, and Posh Tash, you'll be a team of talking tranquility as you solve these issues and woes. We have a fear of loaves and fishes. We have a better bit of batter. We have my husband is a child. And we have my other half's other life. But we're going to start with a fear of loaves and fishes. And this comes from Hayley, who says, dear Uncle Si, Uncle Dave, Posh Tash, and the Duke.
Oh, God.
I like that. I've just finished watching your new Go Local series, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. You make cooking look easy, and I wanted to make all of it. I enjoy cooking, and my skill is developing, but there are two areas I'm not confident in cooking, as I tend to avoid. I don't make a lot of fish dishes, other than the occasional prawn or salmon dish, because I worry that, well, I'll just get it wrong. There's something about cooking fish that worries me more than other foods. The other area that I've not braved is making my own bread. You made several different loaves on your series, and you made it look effortless. Any tips on where to start with cooking in these areas? Bit of fish, bit of bread. Over to you.
Go on, King. You do fish, I'll do bread.
All right, man. So fish is the wonderful thing about fish is its simplicity in cooking it. So there'll be lots and lots of, there's loads and loads of references. Dave and I do quite a lot of fish dishes because it's one of those things that we have in abundance in the UK, and cooking it is really, really simple. You just have to be gentle and be kind, because it's a beautiful piece. If you have a beautiful piece of salmon or a beautiful piece of, as Dave was just talking about, Dover sole, or, you know, something, it's so, so simple. And there's so many great books and great recipes. Just follow the recipe until you get a little bit more confident. And then you just start to instinctively know where, you know, by, as Dave and I do, we can look at the fish and kind of go, okay, it's ready. And then you just take it out and just serve it immediately.
Can I ask, are you talking about when you say it's simple, take it out, just fry it? Just literally put it in a frying pan, or is it?
Not necessarily fried.
No, not necessarily fried. There's lots of different ways you can do it. I mean, one of our favourite ways of doing it is in a wood-fired oven. You can do it in your own oven at home. Not necessarily fried. It's some of it's beautiful steamed. Some of it, you know, there's lots and lots of different ways. Every way you can cook a vegetable, you can cook fish.
So I think the secret is you've got to have fresh fish.
That's the secret.
That's the bone of it. And I say with haddock, whiting, lemon sole, or the cheaper fish, as long as it's fresh, it's going to be tasty. Mm. And that was it. My mum wasn't the greatest cook, but what she always used to do with hake, and it was a favourite, was, and it works really well with haddock. Do you remember, King, when I lived up in Portestine in the north of Scotland?
I do.
I'd buy those boxes of haddock off the boat, and it was cheap. It's not so cheap now, but it was cheap then. And I was living on my own, so I called it my fast food. I put it in two haddock fillets in each bag. Yeah. And for that, what I would do for a really simple fish to keep the integrity, in a pan, bit of milk, salt and pepper, and kind of fresh fish. It's the least you do to it, really, in a way.
That's
why, you know, I'm loath the recipes in some ways. Or under a grill with a knob of butter and salt and pepper. It's lovely. Then you can kind of fancify. I remember that lovely fishmonger, well, there's several near you, in Shields Kingy, but there's a fellow that only sold filleted fish because he wanted to make it easy for the customer.
Yeah.
That was his, like, USB, you know, his unique selling point was the fact everything was filleted and kind of done for you. But then if you asked him, well, as I said, his fish, you've got the fillets, poach it, fry it, or batter it, you know, just flour, batter, or indeed, simplest thing is just put in seasoned flour, dip in egg and breadcrumbs and fry that.
Panned, perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, and steaming it as well. If you got a steamer, I mean, honestly, just keep it as simple as you can, because what you want to do, particularly with fish, and you can do, like, you know, a beautiful a beurre noisette or a cape of butter, or, you know, there's lots and lots of little accoutrements, homemade tartar sauce, pretty easy to make. You know, all of those things, but fundamentally the integrity of the fish, as Dave says, it's got to be fresh. Try and have a chat with your fishmongers.
Yeah.
Everybody's got one. And if you haven't got one, you can get it online and delivered the following day. So all of that, you know, give it a go, man. Shellfish and fish, brilliant.
Do you know what shellfish? I think lots of people get quite scared of shellfish if you're not great at it. And I love doing mussels, apart from the debearding, all that business, but it takes a bit of time. It is actually really, really quick and easy to do.
It is.
Amazing mussels. And it looks so incredible on the table, and it's lovely bread and lovely sauces. So I, for years, was a bit scared of that. My dad used to be brilliant at them. And then now I love it. They're really easy.
Oh, yeah. It's so easy. But I think seafood is, like King was saying online, the problem I have with a lot of supermarket fish is I've been let down so many times.
Yeah.
And it's not a question of how good or bad a cook you are. The produce isn't fresh, and there's nothing on earth you can do to make it taste good. And some of the good fishmongers online, yes, it's frozen, but it works because it's frozen quickly. And actually, and there's somebody that I use as well, the fish comes prepared and portioned. You know, I think a lot of people are frightened of buying a fish with the guts and head and tail and everything. That's a different thing. But then on Saturday Kitchen this week, Ching Hee Hua, she did a whole sea bass steamed, like Kingy said, in a Chinese steamer on top of a saucepan. Oh, man, it looked so good.
Yeah.
But it was a good sea bass, a treat. We feed four people, simple as anything. Curl it round, put it in a steamer. She used a bowl, actually, but you could use the bamboo steamers. But bread. Bread's so easy. Start with a basic white loaf, as the recipe is in our brilliant bakes. Our new book's still available and out this Christmas. But a simple white loaf, you've got flour, salt, yeast, can be dried yeast, water. You will end up with a loaf. And take your time with it. You know, the longer it takes to rise, slower, the better. Bread is so easy. I mean, every household pre-industrial revolution used to make its own bread. The idea of buying bread didn't exist before the industrial revolution. Everybody made their own. Honestly, it's so easy, it's so satisfying. And it's one of the most irresistible things I think you can cook when you get it out of the oven.
That smell.
The smell's just epic. I've stopped buying bread because it doesn't agree with me. And what doesn't agree with me is they use fast acting yeast, and there's something in that, there's an accelerant in that that really causes me no end of bother, and people around me too. It's not a pleasant experience. So I really have had to stop it, and I just make my own bread. And with bread, it's alchemy as well, isn't it, Dave? It's that, you know, you've got to follow your recipe, but as Dave says, really simple, and then you can add bits. I add sunflower seeds, I add all sorts of stuff. Pumpkin seed. I add, if I want a little bit chewy, I'll add a little bit of olive oil, and, you know, just to change the texture up a little bit. And I love it. And it's simple, and it's, I mean, it takes me 2 days because I have a sourdough culture that I do, but that's a different matter entirely. Simple bread is just brilliant.
Start off with your white bread base. Or basically, it's like sometimes as well, wholemeal bread can be quite cakey and heavy when you make it at home. But if you do 50% wholemeal, 50% white, it's going to be good. So at this point, you've got your basic, you know, flour, salt and yeast and water. Once that's doubled in size, you know it's alive and you've made bread. Then you can start putting your bits into it. I remember years ago when I was barely out of my teens, one of the first breads I made was cheese and bacon bread. So I had crispy bacon bits and cheddar cheese. That was into my basic white bread, and fold it in before your final rise. Oh, it was good with butter toasted. Then I used to get a can of tomatoes, and instead of using the water with the yeast, I put a can of tomatoes, but warm, just slowly warm, so I activate the yeast, and then put some black olives in and make tomato and olive bread. And you get this wonderful red loaf. And that one, I remember, with a fried egg on top for breakfast, was superb. But basically, it's those little building blocks that turn you into chef. I mean, or your basic white bread, put it into rolls, a bit of salt and rosemary, then all of a sudden you've got these lovely little dinner rolls, fresh.
You guys make it. I did the classic lockdown. I started making my own bread in lockdown. Yeah. But I'm obviously, like the listeners, I'm layman. So I did the basic white loaf. Loved it. I made one every Saturday morning. It was gone by the moment it came out of the oven. I mean, the whole family comes down. They eat the lot because it smells so damn good. I hadn't got enough time to make another one. But I think I was about 6 loaves in, and I was the career changing moment. Oh, that's it. That's it. I'm giving up. I'm going to be a baker. Bakery. My God, that's it. It's 162 bakeries. I mean, they can all come to me. But I'd only ever made that one white loaf. But I then started experimenting and doing the shape. I haven't gone down the flavour route, but I went down the shape. And I find it so therapeutic. Saturday morning up, you need to let it rise. And by 10:30, 11 a.m., this amazing smell is going around your house. All the family gather around and it gets devoured with whatever toppings, savoury or sweet. It is, I think, I actually love it like therapy. I love making bread.
Yeah. I'm not against a bread machine either. I think that in the real world, they can work very well. I had a mate of mine who... He was a sound man. He was called Rudy Buckle. Sounds like a porn star, but he wasn't. He was a sound recordist, a lovely fella, Rudy Buckle, Dutch origins. Anyway, what he did was he had his bread machine next to the cooker at home. Now, Rudy always left for work before his family were up, but he had a timer on this bread. He had like water bottles that were cut down, several of them. So it's like there was one for flour, but he knew that was the right measurement of flour. So all he had to do at night before he went to bed, scoop the flour, scoop it off, bung it in. So they're all set up. And then he set the timer on his bread machine. And his gift to the family was that every morning at, say, 7:30 when they woke up, there was a fresh loaf to remind them that dad had gone to work. But he was so organised, like the flour bin, everything, by the cooker. So before he went to bed, it literally was 5 actions. Into that machine, press the buttons, bang, and his family had fresh bread every morning. And that was just a little note. I thought, that's class.
Class.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Hayley, we're all very hungry now, and you have got a couple of really good ideas for bread and fish. But do remember that the Brilliant Bakes book is probably a very good place to start.
Food makes everything better.
Okay, it's time for a better bit of batter. This comes from Sarah, and this is also related to Go Local and your sweet and spicy sticky tofu recipe. It says, "Hello, fellas. I made your sweet and spicy sticky tofu recipe today, but had a problem with the batter to coat the tofu. It came out as a paste. The sticky sauce is delicious, but any idea what might have gone wrong with my batter?" Asks Sarah. And the reason I put this one in is we had quite a lot of correspondence about this recipe, so it's also available right now, thanks to Barry, on the Hairy Bikers website, hairybikers.com. All yours.
I do remember watching it, thinking, brilliant, lovely. It did look quite a thick paste when you were doing it, but you didn't put that much on. It was quite, if I remember, it was quite a gloopy one, but
I cooked it off, actually. I think Dave did the prep of it and did the sauce, and I cooked the batter off. And what you have to do, which is in the recipe as well, is that you've got to keep the batter moving. So because obviously what it'll settle to a really thick gloopy paste. So you've just got to keep it moving, just with a fork, and then put your tofu in it, and then keep it moving again, and then batter some more tofu and keep it moving. So I think that's what have gone wrong.
Yeah, you've got to get your temperature right as well.
That's important too.
You know, and make sure that the batter is not too thick. Because it's not really a batter as such, is it?
No,
it's got corn flour, soy sauce, oil.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. It's a coating. I think to describe it as a batter, I don't know if we described it as a batter, it is more a coating. And I'd keep it quite frugal. But it certainly was one of those things that made the tofu come to life, you know? I think I remember that. We're really quite proud of it, actually.
Yeah, it was, and it was flipping tasty.
Yeah,
yeah. The only thing that I can think of is you've got to keep the coating moving. I remember putting the pieces of tofu. I didn't overcrowd the bowl.
Well, maybe the recipe says, actually, cut the tofu into 2 centimetre cubes, place the corn flour, soy sauce and oil in a bowl, and mix well to create a batter. Add the tofu cubes and stir until coated in the batter.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that could be. I wouldn't really want to bung all the tofu cubes in.
No, definitely not.
Do you know what I mean? You'd want to kind of take it quite easy.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the thing. Because it's only 1 to 2 minutes to cook the tofu.
Yeah. And what's the temperature of the oil, mate? Was it 180? I think I seem to remember.
It's in a medium-high heat. It's quite hot. So you want to sear that batter quickly.
Yeah.
And until golden brown and crispy all over.
Aye. Because it did go mega crispy.
Yeah. Yeah, it worked. It worked. I mean, all our recipes work or else we don't publish them.
It definitely worked because I've also had emails from people saying how great the tofu was. Oh, I think it's actually, and also pronouncing, I never know how to pronounce it, tofu. But people have really picked up on that recipe. So I think it has worked, whatever the recipe is, it has worked for quite a lot, few others. So I don't know why that lady's one is quite so thick. But
just give it another try. Double check your ingredient list and just make sure that you've got the measurements absolutely spot on, because that is key. Too much oil and it just falls off the tofu. Too little, you'd rather have too little than too much.
So yeah, it's quite a clever little batter. Should we call it a
is.
Batter?
Yeah,
because
it is.
The soy, the batter seasoned with the soy,
so good,
and the oil and like corn flour is traditionally. Like for making crispy stuff, you know, like tempura batter. Funny enough, we were talking about my tea last night with the Dover salt. I actually cheated because when I cleaned my cupboard out, I found a tempura batter mix and I used that. And it was like chip shop batter. It was okay, but it wasn't what I wanted. When I made my own tempura batter with just some corn flour, ordinary flour, salt and cold sparkly mineral water, and it barely coats, proper tempura, barely coats what you're meant to be frying. It's like a thin shell, a skin. And I got to tell you, I served it up last night for tea and Lil looked at it and I thought, I'm not going to say anything. She said, you've changed the recipe. I thought, yeah, all right. I've done what everybody does. You find it at the bottom of the cupboard and have a go. And actually, I should have stuck to our own kingy. It was better.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you got problems, you'll be fine. Just drop the agony uncles a line.
It's time for our next problem. It's called My Husband is a Child. And for this, we need one male and one female name. And so with the breaking tradition, I think we're going to ask Tash for both a male and a female name.
Outrageous. Outrageous. I mean, I was sitting there really smug going, well, male and a female, Dave, si, male,
come
female,
on,
please.
Come on. Right, so what have we got? What have we got?
Come on, let's do this. Go. Let's do this. Jeremiah.
Jesus. It is. Yes, right. Okay, Jeremiah.
And Josie. Jeremiah and Josie. There we go.
I dread to think what your children are called.
Well, do you want the real story? When I was about 14, I was like, twerp. And I remember going, I'm going to call my children Trouser Press and Flower Pot, which I believed I would for years. Because I truly believe that I didn't understand why we just have the connotation of a table's a table. You know, it just the personality brings out. Oh, yeah, I mean, what a load of bollocks. I mean, basically, I had my children and thought, no, I'll call them lovely names, right. You know, down the family line. And
Jesus.
Although my youngest is called Rockley, and that is quite a quirky name. But
gosh, she's as bad as Gwyneth Paltrow, is she? Isn't she? Hello, I'm just going to call my youngest Apple.
That's ridiculous.
Trouser Press is a fine name, though.
Trouser Press
would go far. Wouldn't
yes.
it? Well, listen, we're going to stick with a rather biblical sounding, a sort of Jeremiah and Josie, which sounds like a kid's book for Jehovah's Witnesses, but we're going to go with this. Dear Uncle, and this is interesting actually, because the lady's, I'm not counting the lady's real name, but who's written in, but she's written us at the top. So it says, Dear Uncle Si, Uncle Dave and Aunt Tasha.
Oh, God. Oh, dear. Older by the week, aren't I?
This comes from Josie, who says, Please help me. I'm a 41-year-old mother of three biological children, and I also have an adult stepchild who answers to the name of husband.
answers to the name of husband. I like this woman already. That's hilarious.
To say that he's rubbish at helping around the house is an insult to rubbish. I'm very lucky in that he's great with the kids, but only because he's one himself. When it comes to the grown-up stuff, he's utterly useless. I work full-time, as does he, and so we share tasks. One of his responsibilities is to make sure that we don't run out of essential stuff, like loo roll and nappies. We're always out of loo roll and nappies, but never out of beer or peanuts. I find empty bottles in the fridge. Orange juice, milk, none in the bottle, but the bottles are in the fridge. He forgets Valentine's Day, my birthday, our wedding anniversary, yet he has no trouble remembering every player's name from the Wrexham team that beat Arsenal in the FA Cup a few years ago. He still reads Viz. He finds farts funny. And don't get me started on the toilet seat being left up. He's really sweet and I love him loads, but he drives me utterly mad. Isn't there some sort of training school I can send him to? Asks Josie. Over to you.
Sounds like a normal man, Josie.
I beg your pardon.
I was talking about this to a mate of mine the other day, Nikki, and Nikki was saying, she goes, you see, the thing is that, like, men like doing the stuff that they like, and they're not very good at doing the stuff that they don't like. And I was like, well, what do you mean? She said, well, you know, like the humdrum stuff. Like, men are great with the kids because, you know, fundamentally, as Nicky was saying, like, you know, they're kids. Mm. So if they want to go swimming, that's great. They'll do take them swimming and everything. But if taking them to the doctors or something that they don't, or, you know, or you know, sitting in front of the teachers at school and stuff like that, they're a bit like, they're a bit pants at. And I was saying this, well, are you okay?
Yeah, but I don't think it's solely confined to men.
I don't either.
I don't.
Actually.
I think that I, you know, in some relationships, it can be the other way around as well. You know, whereas the lady is the one who's off doing her things, painting her nails 24/7, and that's not my missus. She'd kill me. But I know some people there where it's like, you know, the bloke's busting his bits off and she's doing the nails and the hair thing and saving up for the Botox lips. No, it's not confined. It's just it's people thing.
I agree. I'm going to be very careful what I say on this problem.
Why is your husband like that, Tash?
I have a very, I knew what I married when I married him.
Yes, then.
It's fine. Completely, traditional 1950s style relationship I've had, but at the same time I've welcomed it. You know, I'm very, very lucky to be able to stay at home and have my kids when they were very little, and he allowed me to do that. Not allowed me, but you know, we financially could afford to do that. That was very lucky. But I wanted a career still, and he was welcome. You know, he was open to me having my career. But fundamentally, I did jump into the role of, oh, love my husband, have the house nice and the food ready for him when he came home, and it was tidy, and the kids were all bathed and ready for bed, and. And I loved it. I absolutely love being a mother. But I created it. But I think I also created the monster in enabling my husband to come home and find his food and the kitchen nice and clean and the bathroom done and the doctor's appointments booked. And I sort of relish that role. But as the years go on, that role and a career is tricky to manage. COVID was very good for that relationship, I would say, because you could see how much everyone puts into the relationship rather than somebody going out to work and coming home to it. So, but my husband is nicknamed Chief Executive of Toothpaste in our house. And he actually last night confessed to his errors, how he's been slacking and should really be at a tribunal at this point, because we haven't had the right amount of toothpaste in our house for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I've had to pick up the slack. But I have to say, like Josie, he's the most incredible father. You know, he's an amazing dad, but in lots of other ways, just than playing with them. Don't get me wrong. If someone hasn't changed, and you're kind, and I could talk quite a lot about it, I think. But yeah, I'm not complaining at all. I do complain when the toothpaste runs out. I think you give and take, and I think it's a part of somebody I wanted to be. It was to create a loving, open home where I cooked, and I slightly fell into the 1950s thing. I think, but I'm not complaining.
Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with defined roles if both are in agreement and both do what the definition of the roles are. I think it causes less confusion that way. I think that that's fair enough.
I do moan. You know,
I mean, everybody has a moan, don't they? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do moan.
Yeah, I tend to be kind of quite picky and tidy. Do you know what I mean? I'm the one who would never, ever leave the toilet seat up.
Oh,
never.
Ever.
But, you know, maybe my other half might. But I just, and I'll slam it down and make a noise. You know, but the define roles in the household, you see, I refer to as the Minister of Finance. I'll leave that stuff to her. But there again, we split our money, so it's 50-50 work on the workload, isn't it? You know what I mean? And that works very well. But I like things like the toothpaste thing. Why don't you just do what we do? I just buy in bulk. You know,
yeah.
I've got to admit, I'll get it online because since this cancer thing, everything I want is organic and free of this, that, and the other. So I'll get like a dozen tubes in, and then we never run out. Do you know what I mean? It's great. Bog rolls, buy in bulk.
Yeah, he actually confessed that was the issue because we're Costco members. So you end up buying, you know, 400 loo rolls at one go, and you don't know where to store them. You're kind of sitting on them like your sofa. And we also bulk bought toothpaste, and he was chuffed to bits to be in Costco going, look at my job now, I've bulk bought the toothpaste. But then he's relied on that for months, and then suddenly the bulk does run out, yeah. It does run dry. Mm. And he's like, well, surely we bought 400 toothpaste last time. And I was like, yeah, 4 years ago. We do need to clean our teeth still now. So, and then we end up in the corner shop, really expensive ones that are too small, or the travel one you got in the hotel, all rubbish. But I'm a real stickler. I won't buy it. I'll let it run out. I'll let it run dry. There's all the other jobs in the house.
I love Costco. I was a Costco victim, though. I'd go to bulk buy me toothpaste. But unfortunately, I suppose I fell into Jeremiah's role. I bulk bought beer, and I ended up buying all those bar snacks like you see in pubs. I remember coming back with 3 cards of scampi fries. And,
it's mint, isn't it? It's great. You go to your shopping and you end up with a canoe. I love it. That's just like, get in. I didn't want this, but I'm glad I've got it.
Your friends of ours are hysterical. You go around for dinner and you literally open a cupboard and it's like there are like 30 pots of coffee. There's 30, sushi packets or whatever, or bread rolls baked in the oven. And then suddenly they go, and we've got the hot tub, the ping pong machine. We got a tent. Do you want
to lend me tent?
Yeah, exactly.
I bought some. I too am a Costco fan, and I bought this. I don't even know why. You know the Chinese crackers that you get, but
fortune cookies.
They're like the rice crackers, and they're all mixed in one. And then there's the wasabi peanuts in there as well, that. You're like this all mixed in.
I think I've got them here.
Honestly, I bought this jar of it, and I thought. And it doesn't look that much in the shop, does it? Because the thing with Costco is what you've got to remember is everything's scaled up, right? So I got this thing home and I thought, honestly, I've had it for about 4 months and I'm still not finished it. And I'm like, I did try to make a concerted effort. It's like, it's an endless pot of nibbly things.
You say that though. On the other hand, what's so scary is I love the chocolate covered raisins that come in this giant jar, and like you're saying, you think, you know, that's not, but then you eat the whole lot in the next few days and you suddenly realize your hand's been in that pot, you could never finish, and then it finishes, or then you feel guilty.
The one I had that I could never get through was in Barrow up there. We didn't have Costco, we had Booker's. Booker's was the same, but you had to be affiliated to a business. Well, anyway, my friend Tuck, who had the Thai food stall on the market, she got me a card. But what happens is, when you check in, it comes up on a television screen. Now, obviously, people knew me in the town because of seeing me on the telly. But obviously, when I walked in there, I used to come up as Tuck's Thai Foods. And it's like, I don't know, people look at me, I'm going, well, you know, mate. But I came back, I thought the best thing, you know the towels that you get in Chinese restaurants to wipe your hands in the polythene bags?
Oh, yeah.
I bought like 500 of those. I couldn't, you microwave them. So when everybody come round, for the first couple of times, I thought I was dead clever. I got my hot towels out at the end of dinner. But at the end of like the third time, it's like, what am I going to do with this? It's just crap, and disastrous for the planet and everything. It never ticked any boxes other than, a bit of a novelty, but oh, epic.
I mean, I think characters like us should definitely not be let loose in places like that.
Yes. So the moral of this tale is, Josie, never let Jeremiah go to Costco, Booker's, or any of their derivatives, because he's only going to be indulging his passion.
Exactly.
And if you do panini stickers as well for his football, you then you're completely knackered.
Well, if you're down, now don't get drunk. Just send an email to the Agony Uncles.
Okay, it's time to head to Confidential Corner, and this is called My Other Half's Other Life. We need for this two ladies' names and one male name. So, Uncle Dave, could you give us two female names and Uncle Si one male name? Thank you.
Kathy and Katrina.
Rob.
And Rob. All right, this comes from Kathy, who says, Dear Hairy Bikers, just a quick question. Should I be worried? She has put some more detail, yes. Luckily.
yes.
I think the world's ending. Stop.
I've got quite a good job, says Kathy, but it does mean I have to work away quite a lot. My partner, Rob, is fine about this, as it means we have a very fortunate lifestyle. So he stays at home where he works. This means I'm probably away for about 10 days a month. Your podcasts actually help pass the travelling time, so thank you very much for those. A few months ago, my best friend Katrina sadly split from her husband and now lives alone. I asked Rob to go and look in on her to make sure she was okay, as I was worried about her, and I was really pleased when he said he'd been over. Since then, though, whenever I go away, he and Katrina tend to arrange to meet up. He's taken her bowling once, and she sometimes cooks dinner and brings it over to our house for them to eat together. Now, Rob always tells me what he's doing with her, and she's never stopped over or anything like that. But when I called him last night, he said Katrina had been round and bought him a nice shirt and some new shoes he'd been after, quite expensive ones too, and has booked a meal at a really lovely restaurant to treat him and say thank you for helping her through a really difficult time. She hasn't invited me, though, or asked me about it, and it's just made me feel a bit odd. Now, I must say that Rob hasn't changed, nor has Katrina. They're both the same to me as they ever were, but I'm feeling a bit weird about the time they spend together. Should I be worried, or is this just all in my head? Asks Kathy. Over to you.
Well, you know what? It would be interesting to see what happens after the dinner, and see if that, because, you know, he's helped her through a rough time. They're friends, the three of them. So, yeah, if it continues in that vein, buying presents, going out for dinner, all that sort of stuff, I think that she just needs to put her boundaries down and say, look, actually, yeah, I'm feeling a bit uncomfortable with this. It's all about it. All of these confidential corners, really, it's about communication. It's about talking about it, isn't it? I'd feel pretty uncomfortable about that, I think, as well.
Actually. Yeah, I think it's, you know, I think we must remember it is possible for a man and a woman to be friends.
Absolutely.
Without having to do thingy. And the thing is, if, you know, Rob's kind of on his own at times, well, it makes sense for him to have a life, you know, when she's away working. And I'm sure, you know, it's like when I've been away working for months on end, you know, if Lil, you know, had a mate round, male or female, I wouldn't be concerned.
Sure.
You know, because it's kind of, once you start getting concerned, you know there's something wrong, fundamentally wrong. You shouldn't even have to think like that.
But
there are boundaries, as Kingy said, that word's a good one. There's boundaries, there's lines. And if that line's being crossed, you know, maybe she should have a word with Katrina. Just say, hey, up, are you after my husband? Say it in a half-joking way and see what happens.
Yeah, I wonder, though, I think it was the present-giving. I think, it sounds like, it's been pretty chilled. She's been open and honest. They know where they're going. She's away. They're friends together. I possibly think buying a shirt and a shoes means they've had a conversation about what he might like. And the fact that they haven't thought about the pattern that maybe buying a present might seem a bit too forward. So I can see where her suspicion has come from. I think that present would tip you over slightly to thinking it's a bit too personal. So I think you're both absolutely right. You've got to have the conversation with one or both of them just to say it may be me being a bit mad. Or I think she should have it with her husband first and just say, look, you know, I feel a bit uncomfortable she's buying you presents and going out to dinner when I'm around just to thank you, because I've been totally fine with it up until this point, but it does seem a bit personal. If she doesn't say how she's feeling, then, you know, she's going to harbour her, you know, resentment, isn't she? And she's going to imagine it in her head when it could well be very innocent. But I do support her. I think that's suspicious present buying.
I think that probably they haven't acted upon anything. But as Dave says, no. It is possible for I have a very close friend that's a woman, it's fine. There's no other agenda other than friendship. But I think that potentially, unless she says something, it could jog on.
I wouldn't worry too much about the dinner, to be fair, because, if your other half's away, it doesn't mean you've got to stay in all the time.
Absolutely.
If they're both on their own, then, it's like, I'd be very happy that they're having some kind of social life. The present thing's a bit more kind of personal.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it.
Bang on.
Especially the clothing and that. It's not like a box of chocolates or a case of or some scampy fries.
No, it's a shirt and a pair of shoes. That's when she knows his sizes. It just seems more personal. That's the problem. You're right. A box of chocolates and a bunch of flowers. Thank you for being so kind to me. One thing. But knowing your collar size, I'm thinking. I don't know. But he could be innocent in all this. He could just have been doing a good, he's being a nice friend, wife's friend while she's away, all great. He could be utterly oblivious. This could be her and the gift giving. She's maybe getting the wrong messages or getting too keen. He's being very open, isn't he? Because he's saying that's what she's doing and we're going to do... He's not hiding anything, is he?
No, is no he? And they're open. Well, no, so far they're open.
Yeah. It's the conversation. I don't think she has any... Yeah. I mean, look, if she's feeling concerned and she's feeling weird, that's real to her, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So you kind of just sit on that. You've got to act upon it and just go, hey, this is weirding me out a little bit.
I think the first stop's got to be Rob, hasn't it? Speak to Rob first.
Yeah.
And just go,
is
she getting carried away? Do you know what I mean? Is it all getting a bit much? What's going on like? And he could either put her mind at rest or maybe Rob finds it quite, getting a bit uncomfortable
exactly.
as well.
I would be. Feel like that.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah.
I think bottom line is we could be the new BT advert. Didn't they used to say on the BT advert, it's good to talk? Isn't that what they used to slogan?
They did.
And I think we're just saying every time we get to this, just talk. If you don't say it out loud, it gets all caught up in your own head and, things get blown out of proportion.
Yeah.
Just try having a conversation.
Yeah, and if you have a propensity to be in your head, then it's not really not healthy. You've just got to get it out and just have the conversation.
And on the other hand, Rob's got nice new shoes and a shirt.
Do you know what I mean?
Smashing that.
So what he does is he puts his nice new shirt on and his shoes and takes his wife out for dinner.
Yes.
You can see it now, can't you? So are those shoes that Katrina bought you then? No, look, yes, love. Yeah, sorry. But I like them.
I've wanted these for ages. I never want to see these again. Oh, okay. Do I have to take them off, like, in the restaurant?
If your life's in a mess, then the email address is theagonyuncles@thehairybikes.co.uk. Yeah.
As always, we send our thanks to you for listening to us and for sending us in your lovely thoughts, comments, problems and conundrums.
Remember, the email address to send us your problems to is agonyuncles@thehairybikers.co.uk. That's agonyuncles@thehairybikers.co.uk.
We'll have new episodes for you every Friday. You can always rely on the Agony Uncles podcasts for a little weekend light relief. Just follow and subscribe to make sure you don't miss a single one.
So from Poshtash... I said that on purpose, just to be provocative. So, from Posh Tash.
Goodbye.
The Thin White Duke.
Well, goodbye.
And from us.
Ta-ra.
Yeah, bye-bye, everybody.
Bye, safe week.